Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We've been in a series and we've called it The Cloak of Glory. It comes from the prophetic word from Prophetess Jane Hammond that we've received a new mantle, and we've gone ahead and put that up on the screen. We're going to go ahead and do it again. And we're coming to the end of this series. So I thought I was in the penultimate message last week, second to last message, and this would be the last one, but changed my mind. So let's go ahead and put this up, this decree. And you see it on the screen in front of you. And if you will go ahead and read it right out loud over your life, it's biblical, it's powerful. Let's read the word of the Lord while notes are being passed out. Here we go. We decree today, ready, set, go. We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We're making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout this state. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers and curse destroyers because the Holy Ghost lives in us. Come on. Souls will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be reconciled. Prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of all the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say, in your name we decree it all. Shout to God all across the place. All right, gonna talk to you about divine timing. Divine timing. I remember when I was a wee lad, and I received this sailboat for Christmas. And it was a beautiful sailboat. I don't exactly remember the year, but I remember it very vividly. Moments in your life that come, that never come again. There are times in God, seasons in God, that'll never come again. Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13 as we put yet another message into the books before God and his angels, before Satan and his demons, put another message in to declare and decree the victory that's assured by the blood of Jesus. Are you ready? 2 Kings 13. Familiar passage to many. I've preached it a number of times, but a little bit of a new twist tonight. 2 Kings 13, verse 14, if you're all there, say amen. New International Version, now Elijah had been suffering from an illness of which he had died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hand, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. What did he do? He's put his hands on the king's hands. Verse 17. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elijah said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans and Aphek. Verse 18. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. And Elijah told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. Man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you'll defeat it only three times. And Elijah died and was buried. Father, move in power tonight. I pray that you would quicken us. You would quicken us, the hour in which we live in history. The prophet saw far off, Lord, and we are living in a moment, Lord, where it seems the fullness of the Gentiles just ahead, and tremendous days of victory and tremendous days of sorrow. We see our culture seeing dying and damned and degraded, and we're asking God in this moment of history that you would illuminate our hearts. You'd illuminate our mind, and that we would clearly know the hour in which we live. We would not be asleep in the arms of the enemy. And I pray that every person that might be under even slumber would be awakened tonight to the glorious hour in which we live, the time in which we live, the season in which we live, the divine timing, the God moment in which we live. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, we do have notes. Fill those in. They'll put the answers up on the screen. I have a watch here. The watch, the clock, revolutionized. It's the most revolutionary innovation, really, of all time. Well, that could be debated, I'm sure. But how many of you have a watch on your wrist right now? And we know now it's 7:51. AT&T time, 7:51. There's a thing called an atomic clock. I mean, it's unusual because many years ago, the ancients, they didn't have wristwatches. They didn't have that. Jesus didn't have an Apple Watch. How many of you know that? The perception of time among the ancients was more fluid. It was more fluid. And it would adjust. You know, winter would be a little bit longer. And there would come spring. Come on, somebody in Alaska, say, praise the Lord. I know, those of you online, Arizona, whatever, you're like perpetual spring. And it's going to be hot as Hades soon, so hang on. But here in Alaska, you know, it just seemed forever for the green leaves to come out. I mean, I was staring at them. The little willows opened first. I'm like, it's coming. Come on. The earth is turning. It's coming. Fish are on the way. Winter's over. And be like, no more. Don't send another foot of snow. Oh, God. And the leaves start coming out. And then, bam, everything goes green. Isn't it beautiful out there? Most beautiful place in the world, if you ask me right now. Perception of time among the ancients is more fluid. Let me give you two different ancient views. The Greek perception, there's, I believe, four Greek words, maybe five, Koine Greek. The main ones that you are familiar with are Kairos, or Chronos, pardon me, Chronos. Everybody say Chronos. Chronos, that's time in succession. It's time as it moves along. Chronos. Chronometer is another name for a watch, right? Okay. Then there's Kairos. That's not time in succession. A Kairos moment was when I was a little boy and I got the boat. That's a Kairos moment. When the fullness of time had come, the Bible says God sent his son, who sent into time and history, out of eternity, into space, at a particular time frame, in exact time. Kairos, the best definition, simply put, is where time and destiny cross. It's a moment that will never come again, Kairos. A Kairos moment. Raise your hand if you ever heard that before, a Kairos moment. There's another Greek word, horaios, which I specifically love from the book of Acts, where he was brought to the gate called Beautiful. That's the gate of horaios. It's another Greek word that means time, but it doesn't. It means this, that it happens perfectly in time, and so it's beautiful. That's the idea. Horaios gate, which is fascinating. This man who was brought there, who was 40 years old, and he's supernaturally healed at the beautiful gate, at the right time gate, at the moment that brought about maximum glory and 5,000 people get saved. I mean, tremendous, beautiful. Jesus walked past him, but at the right time, it was beautiful. Horaios is a picture there. The Hebrews, they see time differently. They don't see time like that. They see time as linear. And the idea is that God can break in at any moment in history, at any moment, at any time, he can break in. I love those services when this could be one. I don't know that it isn't. God's presence is here. The power of God is here to some degree, a measure of the anointing. But when God really walks or rolls into a place in a strong way, there's nobody preaching. You know that. There's usually nobody standing. When the power of heaven really enters a place, somebody said, it's so anointed, the kings, I love it. I love it too, but there's a whole nother level. There's a whole, come on, we might be at the Nazareth level. We might be like ankle deep level. There's a whole nother level of the glory and the power of God. Only dead men can see his face. But the Hebrews saw time as linear. And if you're going to live on the blessing of God and fulfill your purpose and calling in life, you've got to understand and recognize and respond to divine timings. There are divine timings. And if you don't learn to recognize, I mean, you don't learn to respond rightly to those timings of God, the divine time, and you will miss it. And you'll miss all that God wants to do. I think about the book of Exodus and when they were going to go into the promised land and they sent in the spies and 2 come back with a good report and 10 come back with a bad report. And they spread a bad report amongst the people. Joshua and Caleb, the 2 that brought the good report, and they're like, really? God can do it. They couldn't believe God. And then their minds, they were just a bunch of grasshoppers. And so they were, as it says in the book of Numbers 14 and verse 33. And so they were. We seemed like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were grasshoppers in our sight. They did not see themselves as the army of God. They did not see themselves and their importance at the time to bring in Israel to the promised land. They saw themselves as grasshopper. But the following day, they changed their mind. Okay, so judgment comes and people die. But the following day, they're like, you know what, Mo, Pastor Moses? We're going to go in. And Moses said, you're presuming on God. The moment to go in, the time of going in is past. You can't go in now. And you'd like to think that if you were a part of that team that's talking to Pastor Moses, oh, come on, give me a break. Just go talk to God and just give us another shot. And that's not what happens. And I know we've taught over and over, oh, he's the God of the second chance, the third chance. He's the God of all the chances. Hallelujah. Yeah, he gives you mercy, but you know something? You might not go into the place that he wanted you to. And there's New Testament illustrations and examples as well. There are divine timings in God. There's God moments. There's Kairos moments. Are you aware of that? And do you recognize them? And when you recognize them, do you capitalize on that? Look at the text, this description of this divine timing, this God moment, this Kairos moment. Elijah's dying. And he desires to leave a blessing for the king. Even though the king he's an idiot. No, I mean, just before he's committing idolatry and sin, but like now, he's losing the prophet, so he's aware of the fact. It's not that he doesn't believe in God. He believes, I think, in a God of his own understanding, and he has a mixture, kind of like American Christians. He's a mixture. Don't really, that went over really good right there. They have a mixture of or walk with the Lord, and he was like that. And he cries out in verse 14, my father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. These words are the words of that Elisha said to Elijah. It's a quote, actually. It's the same words at the end of his life. You see that in 2 Kings 2:12. And so this king, he cries out because he realizes that the hope of strength for Israel is going to slip away. And he's like, wait a minute. And the prophet's reaction to the king, it might seem strange, but it's merciful. Even though the king had been committing sin and an idolatry, the prophet's merciful. Aren't you glad that God's merciful? And he said, I want justice. No, you don't. No, you don't want justice. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you don't want justice for you. Yeah, no. Justice, righteousness, and truth. Justice are one of the foundations of his throne, clearly. But we want mercy for us individually. Raise your hand if you want mercy. You want it. You want it. If it was justice, we'd all be like crispy critters. It'd be over. But God is merciful, so he sent his only son. So it's somewhat crazy here that this half-hearted, idolatrous king who's basically committed sin in the previous chapter is now coming, and he's like, wait. And he quotes the same quote that Elisha said to his master. And Elisha wants to leave a blessing, wants to do something for him because it's clear that he loved him. Otherwise, it would have been, you're out of here. I'm out, you're out, you're going to be wiped out by Aram. But that's not what he does. He desires to leave a blessing. And that to me is just beautiful. He loved his nation. I think he loved the king. He was merciful. And the king and Elijah enter into this kairos moment. I'm using a Greek term for a Hebrew scripture right here. It's in Hebrew, the Old Testament's Hebrew, a small section in Aramaic. He enters into a moment where God is breaking into time. And he begins to bring about this prophetic act. So a look at what the prophet does. Elijah puts his hand on the king's hands. He's the laying on of hands. He puts his hands on him. Come on, somebody say he put his hands on him. Yeah, the laying on of hands is for impartation, blessing, but it's also for being arrested. So they laid hands on them and they brought them into the prison. Those are the kind of hands you don't want laid on you. Let me give you some scripture here of the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the gift which is given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the gift that was given you through the laying on of hands. So a gift was given through what? Through the laying on of hands. I've recently had people say, you know, laying on of hands is just like, you know, it's a little uncomfortable. I'm not quite used to that. It's an elementary teaching based upon the book of Hebrews. And yet it's left out in so many places. In Old Testament, Joshua was filled with wisdom, the book of Deuteronomy, because Moses laid his hands on him. And I've had so much happen to me in altars through anointed hands being laid upon my head, through people releasing impartation. I want you to say impartation. In 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Now, I do believe that Paul's talking to Timothy about the baptism of the Spirit, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And we talked a little bit about this just recently in a recent message. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, laid hands on Timothy and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit was put in him through the laying on of his hands. So when you see now back to the Old Testament, the laying on of hands was something they would do for dedication, something they would do for setting apart. And in this case, as he lays hands on the king brings up the, he knocks an arrow, he pulls the arrow back, he lays his hands on him, he puts his hands on him. There's impartation. Impartation, something is happening. Romans, a New Testament scripture again, Romans 1:11, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. How many of you want to receive impartation to make you strong tonight? I do. Oh God, come on, ask God to give you something tonight. Lord, impart to us tonight. Now, impartation can come through the preaching, like right now. Importation can come through someone laying hands on you. Importation can come in lots of different ways. You want gifts from God released to you every which way he'll release them. Paul, God did unusual miracles through Paul. He took aprons, he took cloths from him, and they would lay it upon people and they'd be healed. The power of God is transferable. It's like electricity, kind of. There's some good conduits and some bad conduits of electricity. Rubber is a bad conduit of electricity. Copper is a good conduit of electricity. There are people who receive real well, and other people are like rubber. Raise your hands to heaven and say, God, help me be a good conduit. Come on. God, help me be a good conduit. And there's a lot of things that affect that, people's perception, so on and so forth. In the early days of our ministry, Pastor Karen and I, we were allowed to lay hands on people in the altar just like we were doing. We were life group leaders, I think, back then, leading a small group, and God was in the process of elevating us and teaching us and training us, which is a beautiful, painful process. Amen. And I remember distinctly laying hands on some people and the power of God being released and them getting a miracle, and laying hands on other people is like putting my hand on a cinder block. And I've started praying about it. And I started realizing the ones that were cinder block Christians often were the ones that knew me before, knew me when I crawled in. The ones that were able to receive are ones that were open and respected me and saw me as a man of God, saw my wife as a woman of God, saw us. And when we would lay hands, they'd be like, oh, you want Pastor Karen to pray for you, because when Pastor Karen prays for you, something's going to happen. Their expectancy, their hope, their faith. It was like copper was a good conduit. I remember distinctly coming up to somebody. I could show you the place in the altar where it was. And I go to pray for somebody, like, I'm waiting for Dr. Morocco. I'd be like, okay, well, he's going to come. But can I pray for you too? He said, well, go ahead and give it a shot. I'm like, because where there's honor, there's a release of life. But when there's dishonor, it shuts down the anointing. And Dr. Morocco is tremendously anointed. And if I was him, at that time, I probably would have wanted Dr. Morocco to pray for me too. But there is a shutting down of the power. There could be a shutting down of the power of God. So Elijah here, he's defining. It's this moment. It's this God moment. It's this God encounter. It's the divine timing. It's Kairos. God's about to break in. He lays hands on the king and he defines the action the king takes and the meaning of the arrows. The window is open to the east. And it's a prophetic act. Aphek was a city where Ahab was defeated, had defeated the Syrians years earlier, 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings 20, Ahab defeats the Syrians right there, Aram, same group of people. And so he tells them to open the window to the east and shoot the arrow. Aphek was a strategic place. And so it's this prophetic moment. A commentator, Clark, said it this way, quote, it was an ancient custom to shoot an arrow or to cast a spear into the country which an army would intend to evade. The dart, the spear, the arrow thrown was an emblem of the commencement of hostilities. So they would shoot an arrow, and it's a picture like, we're coming. And so he's shooting this arrow, and hands are laid on him. It's this supernatural moment. The prophet's dying. The king is dismayed. But God's imparting victory to him. And Elijah commands the king to strike the arrows, to take the arrows and strike them to the ground. For the longest time, I've preached this wrong. I just found out the right way to preach it. So I always thought that striking the arrows would be like you take the arrows and you hit the ground. That's not what it is. It's you take the arrows, you knock one, and you strike it into the ground. It's not you hitting the arrows to the ground. I taught that for years. I'm totally incorrect. So I repent and preach it the right way now, striking the arrows to the ground. Thank God for the blood. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Striking the arrows to the ground is you would literally pull an arrow, pull it back, and shoot it into the ground. And so he does that, but he only does it three times. The king casually, nonchalantly strikes the arrows to the ground thrice. He's like, oh, you want me to shoot the arrows to the ground? He's like, yes, shoot the arrows to the ground. Okay. Or anything else you want me to do? And the prophet is like, you're an idiot. That's not really what it says, but it's kind of what it says. The prophet gets angry. Elijah gets angry with the king because he missed his moment. He didn't go into the promised land. He missed his moment of victory over Aram. He's like, he's dying. This is it. This is it. There's no second chance. There's one chance. And the king blew it. Why do you think he didn't shoot more? Well, I'm not a very good archer. Why do you think he didn't do more? Well, I don't know. I didn't really believe what the prophet was saying. Why do you think he just shot three and didn't just lose his ever-loving mind with all his heart, wholeheartedly? Well, I didn't feel like it. I was tired. I needed a nap. I mean, I don't know what the excuses were. I've been accused of being overly excited. I know that might be shocking. But I'd rather be overly excited than dead. Now, somebody said, well, I've had in other camps and other streams, many streams make glad the city of our King. Thank God for the body of Christ. But I've had people say, you know, you're a little extra. I'm like, well, maybe you're a little dead. How about that? Lift your hands to heaven and say, oh, God, help me. We say, well, that's emotionalism. You know, God is emotional. Not in the way that we can be. Different. He feels deeply. Zeal. The zeal of the house of the Lord consumed him. What do you think that was like?
Hey, guys, don't make my house a den of thieves. I don't want you to be trading like that on the side. This is a house of prayer.
Can I tell you something? It wasn't like that. That's not what it was like. Jesus sat down and he made a whip. Oh, no, let's think about that. He's like, hey, boys, how you doing? Well, on Sabbath, praise God. Praise God. What are you doing? No, I'm making a whip. How come? We're going to the temple, baby. Woo! Gonna clean house. That wasn't like, come on, Jesus was a passionate man. The passion of the Christ. Listen, if you don't have passion and you don't have zeal and you're just nonchalant about the way that you strike your little arrows, don't think that you're gonna get far. Because it won't happen. Lift your hands to heaven one more time and say, Jesus, help me now. How do you capture these divine times, these divine moments? How do you recognize them and how do you capture them? So you got to realize, one, they exist. There are moments, they never come again. I remember in the purchasing of our steel, Wally, I know you remember very well. President Trump put an embargo on China and began to just do some moves that caused steel in America to go through the roof. All the steel you see in this building is made in the United States of America and the bolts and everything in it. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. I'll never forget Wally saying, we're not having Chinese steel. Nothing against Chinese and Asians. God bless you. Amen. However, Wally said, we're not having Chinese bolts or anything because there's whole bridges that are falling down because the bolts are shearing off and we're not going to have... So we paid for this steel. It's all U.S. steel, the whole thing, all the way into the concrete, all the way to the top. Can someone say amen? Now, I remember when that happened, and we had a number of challenges financially. This was just one of the hundreds, I think. And we needed to pull the trigger and purchase the steel. The steel company, a Christian steel company, held the steel from the previous July's cost and sold it to us at the previous July's cost. 3 days later, am I right, Wally? Is this true? God's honest truth. 3 days later, it's the price of steel in America went up by 50% and even more. And to purchase the steel that's in this building right now, God would just have to do another series of miracles. It's not impossible. How many of you know, just because he did it one way, now he causes you to do something else and things are more expensive. Big deal. It's just a few more cattle that he sells or a few more hills. But it was a divine moment. It was a divine moment. And there come moments in God and you can miss them. So realize there's times and there's seasons in God. Come on, say that. Say, I realize there's moments. There's times and seasons in God. The second thing I see here is that we're important to God. And I'll give you a quote from a message preached by Dr. Morocco from this text. It was just branded on my heart all these years ago. To the degree of victory... The degree of victory that's released is oftentimes dependent upon us. Great. I'm going to go back here. Be right back. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying to show them how important they are to you, how important we are, God, to your plan. Angels can't preach the gospel. Angels can't do it. Only you can. If there's going to be a harvest of souls in Alaska, if there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God, God's got to find somebody. He's got to find a man. He's got to find a woman who understands the hour in which we live and then begins to move with all their heart, with all their desire, with all their passion, striking their arrows to the ground. Not three times, four, five, six, until the enemy's defeated. America can turn from darkness towards God, but God's looking for somebody who's not nonchalant, half-baked, twice dead, pulled up from the roots. Oh, just be chill. They don't have any chill in me. And let me just tell you, the building's not built by chill. Come on, somebody! Shout to God! The degree of victory released in your life, God will often leave up to you. I don't like that. I don't like it either. I wish you'd just do it. And we could just sit there. Thank you, Jesus, and sing vineyard songs. The victory clearly comes from him, but he co-labors with us. I said he co-labors with us. He's not a loving slave owner. He co-labors with you, and much will happen if we partner with him, and much will not happen if we don't. Lift your hand to heaven and say, I'm important to God. Some of you just want the Lord to do it. Let me tell you what he did. He died on a cross. He rose again from the grave. He ascended to the right hand of majesty. Amen. He's not going to come and die on a cross again. He's not going to do that. He already did that. Some of you are like, Lord, can you just help me with the devil? He's like, I did. Now use your authority. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I want to use my authority. I might preach tonight. I'm starting jumping off the stages and stuff. Jesus, help me. The degree of victory is many times left up to you, is left up to me. The power for the victory comes from God. The anointing comes from God. The enablement comes from God. The impartation comes from God. The truth comes from God. But then you take the arrows of truth and you draw back and you shoot. What does that look like?
If you have a promise from God, you keep moving in that direction. You don't take no for an answer. You know what was interesting? Pastor Kirsten, welcome to the service. We're so glad you're here. We love you. Thank you for all you do. How's Kids Church? Good? Awesome. Thank God for Pastor Kirsten. You know, it's interesting. I'll not use names, but it's interesting. We have a copy machine, and a certain company, which I'll not name, has left Alaska. So they can't service our contract like they used to. So we've run out of ink, and we're using that thing. We're working that thing. So we're looking for a new contract, and so we've got one. We're locking up. So they have to buy out our contract on our copy machine right now because, one, it's not big enough. It's no way near producing the kind of productivity we need. And, two, they can't service it. And so I looked at the numbers of the new copy machine, and I thought, what? I mean, it's very expensive. Well, then what was our old numbers? Well, they have to buy out the old contract. I said, they're violating their contract, and we all realized, yeah, no, let's call our lawyer. So we called a mean... We called the lawyer. It was interesting. It's fascinating what happened. We called him and said, well, we have a lawyer, so, the truck's on the way. Instantly, we are being supplied, and they're following through in their contract. But they've already violated their contract. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just saying, listen, if a dog's coming on your yard, listen, I'm not saying shoot the dog with an arrow. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is exercise your authority. Take the land. Turn the battle at the gate. Don't take no for an answer. I refuse to talk to somebody who can't give me a yes. That's a sales point. Listen, if you go to somebody you're going to sell a product, you don't talk to the person at the front who can't buy it from you. So we said, well, we can't do that. I said, why not? Well, that's policy. I say, okay, can I talk to the manager? Uh-huh. And the manager shows up, and the manager doesn't have authority. Can I talk to the regional manager? You know, right is right, wrong is wrong, and I'm telling you, we need to stand up and shoot the arrows of victory. We need to take a stand. We need to take a stand. Oh, I preached myself happy now. We need to take a stand against the whole trans movement. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not against people. We love people. And the problem is that it's trying to pluck people's hearts to say it's a civil right. When genetics and all of that doesn't prove any of that, it's a choice. The whole end game on the transgender movement, the end game is transhumanism. You know what that is? I don't want to say too much or freak you out, but transhumanism is basically becoming God. That there's no real sex and you can do it. No, there's no male, there's no female, there's whatever you want. And in the end, you can actually live forever. And they're uploading people's mind files into computers and making robots that are actually able to respond exactly like you would respond. And then you have AI and all this. It's the same as in the days of Noah. Don't be deceived. Even the elect will be deceived. You say, well, that's prejudice. No, it's not. It's Bible. You were born either a man or a woman, and that's it. That's it. But when you remove God and you're just left with man, then man can make and choose whatever he wants to. Then you have a big problem. We must stand in this hour of history. It's a Kairos moment. You get your voter card. Can you say amen? Get involved. Get involved in politics. Pray. Believe. Don't be a politician. Be a righteous leader like Mayor Edna and others. Because we've got to see America turn. So help me God, I've given my life to it. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to stop until I see him split the eastern sky. God's on the throne. He's on the throne and he's called us to be his ambassadors. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's called us to be his ministers of reconciliation. I can't. It's against my religion to shut up. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to live a lifestyle of repent. Am I yelling? Yes, love people, hate sin. Doesn't sound like I love people right now, but I do. Thank you, Pastor Karen.
Absolutely right. Come on, somebody say, love people. And love them enough to break off the lies. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the preached word, by the power of a life lived. Can you say amen tonight? Whoo! So we're important to God. Say that. Say, I am important to God. Okay, bump your neighbor and say, I'm important to God. Okay, tell your other and say, hey, you important to God. Y'all important. Everybody say, y'all important. Y'all important, you hear? Y'all important to God. And we say, well, people get prideful. Oh, the Lord will help you with that. If people are going to come to Christ here in Alaska, he's going to have to find somebody that's bold enough to share it. He's got to find somebody that's filled with the love of God, filled with the truth, that won't back off. I'm so sick of tiptoeing, political correctness. I hate it. Does anybody else hate it? When are we going to offend anybody? I say, well, some people need to be offended. They needed to be offended a long time ago. Jesus is God. And God has given us his word. His word is not an ambiguous blend of maybe. It's truth. It's absolute truth. It's not one of many truths. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's just good theology. And if you don't learn that, then you think that you can just make up your own thing like this king did. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. See. Pastor Karen just showed me a sign. I can preach for another 45 minutes. Amen. Everybody say, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Be sensitive
to him. The power of God flows out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Get away from me, I never knew you. Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do this? Did we not do that? Jesus says, get away from me, I never knew you. So you can have the power of God without intimacy, because the name of Jesus is the name of Jesus, and demons flee in Jesus' name. Bodies are healed in Jesus' name. But you can cast out devils, heal the sick, and prophesy, and still miss heaven. I mean, that's kind of intense. Got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You want this hunger for more of God. Everybody say, hunger for more of God. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She had suffered many things at the hands of physicians, no offense, doctor, for 12 years. Spent all that she had. She had an issue of blood. She had a blood flow that caused her to be unclean, so she couldn't be in public. But she pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the crowds of people's opinions. She pressed through the crowd of the law. She pressed through the law. She got so desperate, so hungry, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, you can kill me if you want to. I'm probably going to die next week anyway, but if I could touch the hem of his garment, oh. The same is true every service we have. You can touch the hem of his garment, or you can be the nonchalant, just shoot 3 arrows, go home, like a dry cleaning service. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to hunger for God. You got to be in worship. I mean, I'm talking to worshipers on a Wednesday night. A lot of people out mowing their lawn right now. I'm not against that. Lawns need to be mowed. Amen. But it's still light out, so you should come to church and mow the lawn after. Amen. Aren't you glad? Is anybody else glad that you can mow the lawn at midnight in Alaska? Glory, it's coming. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How to capture your divine moments. Realize, one, they exist. You're in one. Right now. 8:27, I'm going to go for another 10 minutes, and I'm done. And this will never come again. This is a moment in God on May 17th, 2023. That's it. This service will never come again. That's it. And there it goes. And here's another moment. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, wake up. How do you capture divine moments in God? How do you capture divine kairos, time and destiny? How do you, you understand they exist? How do you capture them? One, realize they exist. Two, realize you're important to God and your response to them is a big deal. Number three, or C, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I've broken that down. We must hunger for more of God. You got to be in worship.
Listen, if you're listening to Achy Breaky Heart all day, you're listening to country music all day long. It's filled with like defilement. Forget country. Boo, 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 boo. Right. You're filling your heart with all of the lyrics of all the worldly music. And you expect to come in here and get touched by God. I'm going to just tell you, he'll touch you if you're hungry, even though you've been filling yourself with the cesspool. But if you'll just be a worshipable, a full-time worshiper from God, I mean, like, you say, well, I like my music. I understand, but you know what's better? His presence is better. And when you start really going after God, you just won't want to listen to all that. And it draws you in deeper. You got to be a worshiper. Everybody say, I'm a full-time worshiper. Say it. I'm a full-time. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's so much here. Oh, the Holy Spirit's a person. Turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Listen to this. Those of you that are turning, great. John 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. It's not it. It's not the world cannot accept the dove. He's not a dove. The world cannot accept him. It's a person. Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus is talking about a person. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't have a relationship with the one who raised Jesus from the dead, how are you ever going to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God when he quickens and says, shoot the arrows? You won't even hear him. Is it hot in here? It's because I'm preaching, that's why. Amen. Come on, if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then you can miss it. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever been grieved? I've grieved myself more than people have grieved me, unfortunately. You can't grieve a soap dish. You can grieve a person, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You want life and peace? Be governed by him. Be governed by the Holy Spirit. Allow him to lead you, guide you, direct you. Listen to him. Don't fight him. Yield to him. And you'll have a life filled with the Spirit. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, come on, somebody say, us, however. It's probably not proper English, but you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If, everybody say if. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Paul is talking, it's the theology of Paul in the book of Romans. He's talking about the life of the Spirit, the life of the believer is led, is to be by the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 is that word grieve, lypeo, L-Y-P-E-O, transliterated from the Greek, which means sorrow or distress. So you can cause the Spirit sorrow or distress. That's a bad idea. I mean, you wouldn't be very nice if you did that to your neighbor all the time or your wife or your husband. You're causing sorrow or distress all the time. You'd need some counseling, some help, probably some deliverance. What if you're doing that to God all the time? You need some counseling, you need some help, you need some deliverance. Who would do that? Jeez, not only can you rob God, you can hurt him. You can sucker punch him. You can cause him distress. You can cause God distress. For our lives, through our lifestyle, sin, disunity, anger, rage, fits of rage, greed, lust. Ephesians 4:30 through Ephesians 5 and something. It gives us catalogs, all these things that grieve the Holy Spirit. If you want to, go look at it. Go look at it later. I don't have time tonight. The fourth thing is pray and commune with the Holy Spirit. Worship team, pray and commune with the Holy Spirit. Just the keys. Thanks. Pray and commune. Pray and what? Commune. Spend time with God. I don't know. Last night, I was so tired, and I had a meeting at 7, and I drank some, some mushroom drink. Not psychedelic mushrooms, obviously. It was, some chaga or whatever and some other stuff, and, it's the mud water or whatever it is. It was awesome. Really enjoyed it. It's fantastic. And, we had a great meeting. Super. And then I find myself staring at the ceiling till 3 in the morning. And I thought, I shouldn't have had I shouldn't have had the shrooms. I'm like, oh, maybe the Lord's just leading me to pray. And so I start praying. And like, I pray through and I'm still staring at the ceiling. I'm like, Lord, he's like, you shouldn't have had the shrooms. I'm like, all right, well, here we are. Can you help me right now? And I just got led on this prayer journey till 3 in the morning. It was awesome. Tired the next day, but great breakthrough. Oh yeah, there's further breakthrough that some of you don't even know about. Come on, Rob, we're having a breakthrough, man. Come on, somebody say we're having a breakthrough. Raise your hand and say, I'm having a breakthrough. And it's amazing when I spend these nights in prayer and communion with God, how it's like shooting arrows. Some of you, like, your sleep's an idol. Oh, I can't go up for morning prayer. Morning prayer is just too early. What? We used to have it at 5:30. I don't feel led. Get the lead out, home slice. Four, or D, take wholehearted, bold action. Be wholehearted about what you do. Bold, be bold. Persevere. It's another picture of perseverance. Landing the plane. Persevere. Everybody say persevere. I'm convinced that part of the reason we're here tonight is y'all didn't quit. We didn't quit. I didn't quit. Wally didn't quit. None of us quit. Well, some people moved on, and that's okay. Everybody belongs to God. Don't try to hog tie somebody and make them persevere. But they've done studies on grit. You know what grit is? It's a character quality that if you have it and you don't know how to quit, I don't know how to quit. Where are we gonna go? Grit. Get the word of the Lord. Shoot your arrow and don't stop shooting till you have an absolute victory. There's nothing to quit to, by the way. Everybody say persevere. So lastly, God speaking to us as a church, we've entered a Kairos time. We've entered a God moment. We've entered a divine moment. Not only is it spring and the leaves are out, glory be to God Almighty. But we are about to experience the greatest release of God's power and souls we've ever seen before. And I'm gonna tell you how it's gonna work. There's a season of preparation. I'll go through the summer. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you right now. We're in a season of preparation and God's getting team ready. He's mending the nets, getting everything all together. By the time fall hits, we roll on into fall, we will see more people come to Christ than we have ever seen before. And Lord, you can do it early if you want to. We will see more come to Christ than ever before. It's time. It's time for America to turn. Personally, be open to God moments, be open to divine timing. The divine times in heaven being released. Heaven's in eternity. We're in time. Heaven's in eternity. Be open to those moments. They never come again. God calls you to go, but you hesitate or you wait or you... What would you think? What would happen? Said John, Pastor John Kilpatrick, what would have happened if he didn't get up at 3 in the morning and go down to Brownsville Assembly of God all those years ago and pray, ask for a revival, cry out for a revival? And then eventually, I think it's after 3 years of getting up at 3:30 in the morning,
God sends a former drug addict, graduate of Teen Challenge Center, Steve Hill, who comes to Brownsville Assembly of God on Father's Day, preaches, the heavens crack open, and people begin to rush to the altar, and a revival that takes place goes for 5 or 6 years, I think it was. People would drive from all over. They drive thousands of miles to go. There are demonstrations of God's power. They would fly in from everywhere. Who knows what God could do here? He's just looking for you. He's looking for me to shoot the arrows. He's looking for us to do our part. That's all we got to do. He's not asking you to get crucified. He already did that. And even if you did, it wouldn't matter. It's only his sinless blood that brings redemption, salvation. He's giving you the same spirit. Will you do your part to see the plan of God come about for your life? I really wish it was easier. I do. I don't know, innately, we just like things done for us. God did his part. He won't do yours. God did his part. You have to do yours. I have to do mine. We have to show up and pray and believe God. Shooting arrows is a picture of so much. I mean, fill in the blank. Read the word, praying, fasting, witnessing, laying hands on the sick. Shooting the arrows is a picture of giving, a picture of declaring. It's a picture of warfare. Don't stop, because there's lives, countless lives. They're counting on you to keep shooting the arrows. Don't be nonchalant. Don't be all chill. Oh, I just don't feel like it. What does that have to do with it? He's worthy. Lift your hands to heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.